in her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacked just like
a... Can anyone help me by distracting me from this airline situation? My anxiety is usually about a 5 when I have to travel. Gabe, I know you're joining the ranks this weekend as well. Can anyone distract me? Josh, you got anything to distract me from what could be imminent doom this weekend?
Yeah, I think I can help you. I had a little debate at the house yesterday. Famously, Mussolini is the other person.
Didn't realize you could debate with Mussolini.
Yeah, well.
Didn't realize debating with Mussolini was an option.
I'm going to be honest. History did not.
Bode well for those who did.
Correct.
You could try. You end up losing, as much as I do 100% of the time. And this is another example of this. Came home yesterday a little later than normal, so immediately grabbed the dog, took it for a walk. Came back, and I discovered what I would call a new contraption in the house. Now, I am famously a person who doesn't like clutter, doesn't like things on the countertops or really in any surface where you would typically do things. I discovered what was a dehydrator. So those towers where you can put things on the levels and it goes up and it dehydrates. We bought the... It's a we.
It is a we.
I now own this and I'm going to have
What's
to.
Mine is yours. What's yours is yours.
It's now part of my household and I'm going to be responsible for picking it, putting it away, bringing it back out when it's needed. It's for dehydrated like lemons that are going to go into cocktails. And I said that we need to start a contraption approval process. So in the house, we have
the old CAP.
Yeah. We have a KitchenAid on the counter. There is a tea kettle. There is the coffee machine.
Mm-hmm.
I've resisted now for years the air fryer. And there's also been talks of the nugget ice machines. And I just am anti all this stuff. There's too much stuff going on. So I want to know, what are the required contraptions that you should have in a house? Because we have so many. New ones get busted out. I'm not even sure what, like the emulsifier thing, that stick, and it's like basically does the mixing for you. I don't know what that is, but I got to find a place to put it every time it gets used.
Oh, the emulsifier blender?
Yeah. Those are
nice if you're making a soup and you need to, you know, that way you don't have to transfer it all the way into like a blender to make it smooth. Those are nice things to have. That's a nice one to have.
I have the honor of both cleaning it and then packaging it and putting it back in every single time it gets used.
Well, let's ask Chewy, how many contraptions, what are we calling them?
Yeah, contraptions.
How many contraptions do you have on your counter, Chew?
Well, I'm like Josh. I hate clutter. I like a nice, clean countertop. It makes it much easier to clean. You don't have to move it. Because I've gotten to the point where I'm neurotic about cleaning. So on the counter, there's a spice rack. There is an air fryer, which I never use. There's a two-leveled, like, wooden dish for keys, receipts, glasses.
Everybody's got
like
one
that.
Of those, right?
Mm-hmm.
Coffee maker, and that. Oh, and the knife thing, you know, where you keep the knives.
Yeah.
Does the knife thing count? Yeah, that's counts as a contraption.
Does it?
I think so. It's holding all the knives on. It's on the counter. I think the fact that it's on the counter.
So everything's pretty clean.
So how many was that? Was that 5-ish?
1, 2, 3, 4,
oh, we got
5.
The Tootsie Pop
owl.
Yeah, 5.
Five.
Okay. Gabe, how many do you have?
So we have a pretty large kitchen. It was like the selling point of our house when we bought it. So there's a little kind of corner where we have the coffee maker, stove, nothing. Well, we've got the kind of a spice rack where it kind of spins, where like the ones that you're using, that you're cooking with more often, they're your salt, your pepper. We put our olive oil on a little kind of spinning, rotating thing that goes right there. There's a wooden cutting board that she likes to always keep out, so we just keep that there. So what's nice with our knives, we have a magnet on the wall. So that's where we put the knives. So those are just like sitting above the cutting board. So that looks pretty nice. And then, then we've got an air fryer. I think it's pretty clean. I think it's clutter free.
So we have in the corner the little coffee maker.
Yep.
It's a little coffee area. It's got some cups or some mugs, you know, some spoons, and then a little container that has all the pods, right? So you just grab a pod, drop it in, drop the top.
Sure.
You know, go to town. Next to that, we have the air fryer, which I use all the time with the kids. Tendies, tots, whatever.
My wife almost exclusively makes potatoes. If we're having potatoes with the meal, they're going to be air fried.
Breakfast sausage, guys. Breakfast sausage. You throw a couple of them in the air fryer, give it 6 minutes, boom, done. On the plate. Easy peasy. Jump across, because that's all we got on the one side.
Okay.
The coffee maker and the air fryer. Jump across. Nothing, 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 nothing. Toaster. That's it.
That's it. Yeah.
So I think we have probably the fewest of the things.
Seems like you've got a pretty clear countertop.
Very clear.
The thing. Go ahead, Jen.
I was going to say, but if I were to bring another one in, I would not ask Dario. I would not ask my husband, hey, is it okay if I get a blender and drop it into the counter collection? You know, like it's. If it shows up, it shows up. And I'm guessing that's what Mussolini is what she's operating under as well.
You know what I hate in the kitchen? I hate it. I hate it. I've always hated it. The Lazy Susan. I hate that damn thing.
You still have one?
I don't know who Susan is. Yeah, we have one at one. We all have them at all three houses. And I hate them.
What do you put in your Lazy Susan?
Nothing. I have my knife sharpener. Which I love, because I love a sharp knife. You guys don't have Lazy Susan?
No.
Is that 1990s?
Yes. And the only Lazy Susans I ever knew were inside like a corner cabinet. It's the way that they sort of use that empty space.
So we in our corner cabinet, that's what we have. Yeah. So it just looks like a cabinet. There we've got like the bottle of olive oil that you know, the bigger bottle that you pour into the one that
but
you actually
hidden,
keep
right?
out.
It's hidden, right? It's in the cabinet.
It's hidden. That's where we put like our canned goods.
Yes, you give it a push.
Yeah, and then it looks like two cabinet doors because it rotates around.
Yep. We did cereal when we had a Lazy Susan. We put the cereal boxes on the lower shelf there so folks could grab it. But yes, canned goods and all that stuff.
Now, to Joshy's point, though, you open up our pantry and it's contraptions galore. We have two different sizes of a food processor. We've got a mini one in case you want to do smaller stuff. We've got a bigger one. A pretty nice... pretty nice blender in there. Also have the emulsifying blender.
Do you still use a blender? What do you use a blender for?
Smoothies. Smoothies mostly. What else? So we've got the crock pot in there. We've got,
we have multiple crock pots. I don't know why we need more than one. Hardly ever.
Well, what if both of you want a different kind of chili?
What if both of you
are in a chili cook-off at the same time?
There's different size crock pots, which are nice. Because if you're making there's a Packer dip I got from a cookbook when the Packers, and it's outstanding. But the big crock pot, it's just too big. So it's like a, not a mini one, but it's kind of like a small as compared to the big ones.
I do think that there is a priority list here. Like, how often are y'all using your KitchenAid? For real, for real.
What's a KitchenAid?
The stand-up mixer.
Like drop the thing down, and you got the...
Is that especially, like a farm processor?
Mine's about... No, because it's got the... like
it's, you the have, big, it's the big metal bowl with the mixer.
Oh, I don't have one of those.
Mine's about to get worn out here. Holiday time is big time.
Yes.
Using that for a lot of stuff.
You're making cookies?
Cheesecake. Uh-huh. Yeah, all sorts of whatever desserts that you're going to be making. Yeah, that's where it goes.
Now, Joshy, it feels like
we've got the hook attachment if you want to do the dough.
Yes. Now, that feels like one you could keep in the closet. That feels like one that maybe could go inside a pantry,
on top of the refrigerator, that's where the KitchenAid goes, and I also have a popcorn maker up there.
See, but the KitchenAid is a more aesthetically appeasing of the items.
Really?
That one gets tucked in. It's a nice brand. It's a nice look. You can get like the different colored. It can bring a kitchen together. Now a dehydrator, we don't have space for that in any of the closets near. So that's a bring it down upstairs, downstairs, upstairs, downstairs. But it also is probably going to get used, 2-3 times a year? And that's also a portion.
We also, and folks are weighing
in. So I didn't really know what this dehydrator looked like.
Yeah, it's a tower.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's... That's not an aesthetically pleasing appliance.
I also have to be honest with you, Joshy. When you said a dehydrator, I thought you were going on a jerky binge. I thought we were dropping some meat in there. You were making some beef jerky. And then I was like...
The example of lemons for cocktails.
Dehydrated lemons for cocktails. Uh-huh. Wow.
I feel like we may need a conversation about how much alcohol is being consumed in the Mussolini household.
How much alcohol? And also, you're hitting Tom Brady levels of money over there. Okay?
Apparently, and I'm sure you guys can all... sort of identify with this. Whenever a new thing shows up, I always hear how cheap the price tag is. That's a classic.
Totally.
It was only like $25. Yeah,
look, totally. I mean, I was losing money if I didn't get it.
Yeah. I have seen people use that explanation for buying concert tickets. Yeah. Like, well, the concert's not till 2026, and if I buy them now, once 2026 rolls around, it's like it costs nothing. I do think you should implement a rule, and it is add one, you take one.
Ooh.
If you add an appliance to the countertop, you got to take one. And then you got to have the tough decision about which one are we using the least frequently, which one is not aesthetically pleasing, or whatever, you know, metric you want to use. But you got to remove one. What do we think, Chew?
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, the standard, you have to have a coffee maker, right? That's got to stay. See, toaster, I don't. I put the toaster away and then pull it out.
Okay.
See, I use the toaster every morning. Bagels, Uncrustables,
muffins. Air fryer's a little overrated.
Oh,
no, it is
hard,
a little bit.
Hard
like
disagree.
Bacon in the oven is so much better than bacon in the air fryer.
Who's
and
making
my wife
bacon in the
Angie,
air fryer?
She beats my wife.
Why?
At least two or three times a week because she likes it on a wrap.
It just, but like, I guess I... Putting bacon in an air fryer never occurred to me. Like I've put a number of things in the air fryer.
Yeah.
Bacon in an air fryer never occurred to
me.
Never,
no.
Never once was I opening up like a package of bacon going, you know what?
Yeah.
The air fryer would do a good job with this just because I would not want to deal with the greasy mess inside the air fryer.
Oh, she doesn't have to deal with it.
That's what makes chewy.
Oh,
but that's what makes the oven great.
Yes.
Yeah. You put it down on the tinfoil. You throw it in there. You wrap up the tinfoil. Boom.
Yeah, Chewie and I are in lockstep on this. There's a lot of things that get used that then the cleanup is never factored into. Maybe we didn't need to use it because there's one person cleaning it and it's me.
And you know what I do? Josh, you know what I do every single time because she pees me off? I put the Pam right next to the air fryer and I leave it there. And I'm like, it's so much easier if you splay the damn thing with Pam. So I don't have to use a chisel to get the bacon scum off.
You know what? I'm going to get you guys.
Sitting there with a hammer and a...
I'm going to get you guys those little, I think it's silicone liners. And you drop that into the air fryer first, and then you put your food on it, and then you just lift the liner out, and you don't get that crusty mess that it sounds like you're dealing with. 800-990-3776. What do we call it? The CAP?
Yes.
Contraption?
Contraption approval process.
Approval process. Joshy thinks that his girlfriend, Mussolini, should have to run by him when she brings a new contraption into the house because she added a, what did you call it?
It's a dehydrator.
A dehydrator. Oh, yeah. It was the emulsifier that really threw me for a loop.
When you suggested that you start a process of this, right? Hey, you want a new contraption? We need to talk about it. How did that go over?
I got a big smile and a tee-hee, which is... universal language for fat chance.
Yeah. Tee-hee. Let me just translate for you there as the official woman of the program. Tee-hee means it's cute that you think so.
That's cute. Yeah. That's...
Josh. Believe me, I entered into that conversation knowing full well the result, but I felt like I had to at least...
You had to state your protest in some form.
Josh, question for you, though. Is the lemon that you're dehydrating, is that for taste or is that just a garnish?
It is aesthetic.
Oh, so okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, okay. Bougie over there.
Sort of agree with you on the necessity for the dehydrator.
But it seems like you agree with Mussolini and her right to basically do whatever she wants.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But again, maybe you can use it to your benefit. You start dropping some meat in there and you get some beef jerky, then all of a sudden the dehydrator feels a little more valuable on the counter.
I also have a feeling if I started putting strips of steak in there to make beef jerky, we would have a problem with our lemon tasting and smelling.
You said it was aesthetic. Yeah. You said it was just aesthetic. It's not for function. 800-990-3776 if you have a solution.
Why does this
for
Joshy. Taste like beef jerky?
It tastes like bacon.
Is it teriyaki you made recently?
Well, so that's the next layer. It sounds like Joshy's not allowed to use the dehydrator.
Well, that's another part. I'll probably break it.
We got Jason Wilde coming up next. Talk a little green and gold as they get set for a Monday night matchup against the Philadelphia Eagles. Take a break. Be right back after this.
Taste what all the screaming is about with a hot deal at Festival Foods. Get your screaming Sicilian favorites for just $4.99. Think about that. It's screaming Sicilian, the original. Then you have the thin and crispy. You also have the tavern style. And you also have what me and Josh's favorite is. It's the best one out there. It's the Detroit style. It's got a pan.
The
it
best.
Keeps the oh my goodness. It keeps the crust nice and crispy, but it's all still light and airy at the same time. You need to check it out because right now all your screaming favorites are just $4.99 at Festival Foods. Stock up your freezer now through November 9th.
Let's get right to it with our buddy, with our teammate Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
Good morning, everybody. How are you?
Good. All right. So we all saw the report from Jordan Schulz about the Asante Samuel visit. I guess the Vikings are also on the list. The Panthers are on the list as far as teams that he is visiting, as well as the Green Bay Packers. What, in your opinion, is the likelihood that Samuel is on the team?
Oh, I mean, his back has to check out, and there's like six teams interested in him. So I mean, they clearly need help, right? We can all agree on that. Even if you think that Nate Hobbs is good, which I'm not sure I think that or not, but now he's going to be out for a couple weeks. So, you know, this guy's a former second-round pick. He's obviously got NFL bloodlines. But I'm not sure I can handicap it just because I don't know enough about what the other team's cornerback needs are. I just know that I've been told for a very long time, you can never have enough corners.
Jason, if they do sign him, would this be a pivot with the medical staff when it comes to necks? Obviously, JerMichael Finley had the fusion. Nick Collins had the fusion. Now Asante Samuel does.
Yeah,
I don't get the pivot.
Yeah, and I don't know enough about, like, obviously all these teams are interested in the Asante Samuel Jr. who was drafted in the second round, who was a good player. Brian Bulaga was with him for a while with the Chargers. But yeah, this is why, like, when JerMichael was trying to play and Nick Collins was trying to play, this is why teams brought them in. They all wanted to have their medical staffs take a look at them. So I think this is doing due diligence. I think you have to be careful to think, okay, this is a guy that I recognize the name, and it's at a position of need, and the Packers didn't do anything at the trade deadline. In contrast to, say, the Eagles, who, you know, I know we don't hold Jair in high regard at this point, but they went out and got two corners and a pass rusher at the trade deadline or around the trade deadline. So, I think there's a long, long distance between he's been cleared by his doctor to resume his NFL career and the Packers medical staff signing off on Goody signing him.
Jason, with Tucker Kraft being out, I think the natural inclination is, oh, you run the football more. But he was so important to what they did in the run, despite being also their leading receiver. So with him out and presumably some of those snaps going to Luke Musgrave, who is not as good of a blocker, is there a chance that they throw the football a little bit more because the run game hasn't been efficient as they'd like this year, and now with Tucker Kraft, it's going to be tough to be efficient?
Yeah, that's Homer's idea, right? Homer saw that final drive with Luke Musgrave on the field, and he caught three passes for 34 yards, and then they didn't really run the ball until they got down to the goal line, and then obviously they gave it to Josh Jacobs to get the game-tying touchdown. But, I know you can't do this, but they do have a guy that, you know, they think is a pretty decent blocker. Again, I don't think anybody thinks John Fitzpatrick is, you know, a taller version of Tucker Kraft, but, you know, they feel pretty good about his blocking ability. I still think it's interesting to me that this all happened after they kept Lucas Haversick on the roster, which I'm not criticizing them for, but they cut Ben Sims, and then, you know, how many times have I said that, you know, Ted Thompson used to say you can think you're really deep at a position and you're one or two sprained ankles away from being thin. Well, in this instance, you know, they thought they could cut Ben Sims, bring him back on the practice squad, and have a guy that's played a ton of snaps for them in 2+ years, still available to them. And the Vikings, you know, foiled that plan. And now suddenly they really need him. And again, I'm not even saying he's Jeff Thomason from Chewy's time, but he was a guy that had played and knew the system and it had some production. And now you're going to count on, you know, you signed two guys to the practice squad. You promoted a guy from the practice squad. But to your point, I just think they're going to throw the ball more to their wide receivers. I think they're going to spread those targets.
Yeah, I'm not saying throwing the ball to him specifically. I'm just saying that you can't run the ball the way you want to because Tucker Kraft is out and he can't. I'm not saying, oh, you're going to throw the ball specifically to Luke Musgrave. I just think, in general, you have to throw the ball more because, again, you bring in Fitzpatrick. It's kind of obvious. It's a run play. You bring in a sixth offensive lineman, which I know is a trend across the league. You're hoping that you're up, you know, even though everybody knows it's a run play, the extra beef is going to help you out. I'm not saying Luke Musgrave in particular is going to be this huge playmaker for them. I just think that the blocking itself of Tucker Kraft is going to be missed.
Well, you're 100% right about that. And I was just about to say, how about if your next tight end when you want to run the ball is Anthony Belton? You know, are you confident enough? You know, like there was we all remember the Kevin Berry U-71 package. Yeah. And Belton even wears 71, right?
Oh, so even better. Run it back!
But if you're confident enough that you can tell the whole world that you're running it, and obviously LaFleur would then build in place, not necessarily to throw the ball to Anthony Belton, but to keep him honest, I think that, what you said there, probably makes more sense. Because, again, to your point, they don't have any tight ends that are as well-rounded as Luke Musgrave. And when I compared him to Chewy, I can't remember. Chewy, did you admit that he's even more talented than you ever were?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. But that was my point when I made that comp even last year, is just that, you know, there's so much value in having a guy like that. I mean, no disrespect to your old buddy Keith Jackson, but, like, you know, Keith Jackson didn't have a whole lot of interest in blocking an end. That was not something he was interested in.
Jason, what's the latest on Jaden Reed?
He's catching balls. He had his helmet on while he was doing it. I saw him in the locker room. We're prohibited from actually interviewing players that are on injured reserve. Big fan of that policy. But I did say hello and talk to him for a bit. He's, you know, somebody asked LaFleur on Monday, which seems like forever ago at this point. We haven't talked to anybody since. That today's our first kind of return to access, which is not how Monday night games used to be treated. But he was asked if Reed was close, and LaFleur very clearly, what is close would indicate he's not close. So I would say, based on LaFleur's answer and not being able to ask Jaden myself, probably another month or maybe a little under a month. But the fact that he's out at practice, the fact that he's been in meetings the whole time, you know, a lot of guys, when they're injured and rehabbing, they don't come for the entire day of work. But he's been doing that. So, you know, if you can get him back you know, sometime after Thanksgiving, but before, what's that Bears game that's on a Saturday? The 20th?
That is the 20th.
In Chicago,
yes.
December 20th? If you can get him back around there or maybe a week earlier, again, this is the trickle down of the Kraft injury. Like, you want all hands on deck. They're hoping that they're going to have Wicks back this week. I just think they should go five wide and do what Rodgers used to do when they had, you know, all those Sports Illustrated cover boys. Like, just let's go. Spread them out, and then just, you know, whoever wins, get the ball out quickly, and I think that could be really effective.
Jason, why are the Packers favored?
I assume because they're at home, right? Is home field is worth 3.
Yep.
They're favored by 2.5. Like, I don't know. Maybe they didn't get the game at the oddsmakers' houses. They had some other game on, and they couldn't get a connection, or maybe they thought that game was so uninteresting that they shirked their responsibility and didn't watch it. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, the Packers, I do think that there's been a certain level of overreaction to how bad the loss was among fans, and, you know, Tausch and me included. At the same time, I mean, they still have a lot of talent on their team, and we've seen what they're capable of. At the same time, like, the loss of everyone thinks that, right, I don't know about everyone, but a lot of, at least people who listen to our show, you know, we were being criticized for being so negative. I'm not being negative because they lost to the Panthers. I'm being negative, if you want to call it that, because they lost their best offensive player.
Yeah.
And, like, as you know, I know you called him a moron, and you and I then had to deal with the after effects of that. But, like, when they lost JerMichael in 10, that was a big deal because Mike McCarthy had really built a lot of the offense around him, right? He had a huge 2009, speaking of guys that didn't have a whole lot of interest in blocking. But, like, they had to do a pretty serious pivot offensively. And he wasn't even the complete tight end that Tucker Kraft is. And to Gabe's point, he wasn't factoring in a huge way to their run game. And Tucker Kraft does. So to me, if I'm being perceived as being negative by saying, I think they're still a playoff team, I don't think they're a Super Bowl team without Tucker Kraft, so be it. But it's not because they lost to the... If Tucker Kraft doesn't get hurt... And yeah, they still end up losing the same way to the Panthers. Mm-hmm. I'm not nearly as pessimistic as I am now.
Totally agree. Because every good team, or most good teams in the league, have a crapper, right, Jason?
But they've had a couple, Jason. And is the youth, because part of the whole, hey, we're going to be young and we're going to learn lessons early, we're going to apply them late. That's the theory of Brian Gutekunst. How come they couldn't take the lessons from Cleveland and apply them against Carolina? Is that still the youth?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, or it's just the fact that young players don't execute as consistently as veteran players. Like, you know, it's Savion Williams who fumbles on that opening drive, right? I mean, how many touches does he even have this year? In addition to the kickoffs that he allowed to bounce, and then he fielded in the end zone, giving them a touchback to the 20 instead of the 35. Like, there's an inexperienced player for sure, right? Beyond him, the execution on the, I think their offensive line, we probably have not been as critical as we should be of them. Like, they just, when Steno said last week that they're blocking the wrong guy too often, I was just like, what? Like, how is that happening? It's not because it's not like they're playing a bunch of young guys there, right? All these guys are experienced at this point. So, you know, they executed poorly. LaFleur obviously made a bold or maybe panicky because possessions were at a premium decision to go for it on fourth down. Like, there's, you know, I don't know if that was they didn't come to play. I think it was more they just played like garbage. And they made, in a game with very few possessions, they had their kicker miss another very makeable kick. What was that one that he missed? 41, 43, something like that. I just, they made just enough errors to get beat in a close game at home, and they couldn't stop the run. So I don't want to chalk up that loss to, oh, they didn't learn from rolling their helmets out there in Cleveland. I chalk that up to it when you're young and you don't execute, things can snowball. And that's kind of how I looked at last Sunday.
Jason, is Golden frustrated because you know he sees what Abuka's doing and he mm-hmm. sees what Tet McMillan is doing. Is he frustrated?
I don't know. Last week he did. He's already a veteran. All he needs is that corner locker like you had, because he did not come in when we were in there. And because I'm sure he knew what we were going to ask. Now, he is one of the people on my to-do list this week that I want to talk to. So we've got today, tomorrow, and Saturday. And like he said the right things a couple weeks ago, but, you know, and obviously the shoulder injury, I don't know how that affected how much more he would have played and all that kind of stuff. But my answer to your question would be, how can he not be?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, he's not a cyborg. He's not emotionless like the Terminator. Like, of course, I don't know how you wouldn't be. Now, how that manifests itself and how professional you are about it is another matter. And again, I don't like to speculate on guys. This is the same reason why, you know, I wanted to talk to Rashawn Gary last week, because while he's having a really productive statistical season in one way, there's also been these weeks where he does the same, right, Gabe? He does the same thing he does all the time, where mm-hmm. You're like, did he play? Now, last week, both him and Parsons were neutralized, but they threw the ball 20 times. They got the ball out fast. Like, I'm not sure that those guys played that poorly in that game. But my point is that when those situations arise, I want to be able to talk to the guy and give him the opportunity to be quoted and for me to be able to say, well, Chu, I talked to Matthew Golden today, and here's what he said. So hopefully I can do that after today, and I can do that tomorrow when I'm on again.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody, take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde can be heard on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.
Is your business ready to take the next step? At Fifth Third Commercial Bank Wisconsin, the team of local experience advisors are here to propel you forward. They understand your needs and offer in-depth expertise, cutting-edge technology, and tailored solutions to streamline your cash collections, automate payments, and safeguard your assets with top-notch fraud mitigation tools. Contact Fifth Third in downtown Milwaukee today. Let's eliminate the non-value ad work so you can focus on what truly matters the most. Growing your business. Fifth Third Bank National Association. Custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I just figured if I got the yellow ones from Mexico, I could slip those in without her. Did you know the Viagra in Mexico is yellow?
Had no idea.
Yeah.
Wait, can you just paint it? You just drop it in a little food coloring?
You probably
and color
could,
it
like
egg?
An egg? I'm going to try that.
Easter has a new meaning in the Chamura household.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Just let me cry a little bit.
Buying or building a new home, Great Midwest Bank will help guide you every step of the way. My family and I, we use Great Midwest Bank for our mortgage. They have been fantastic for us, even giving us a call when rates dipped so that we could get in with a better refinance. That's the type of banking, that's the type of service you're going to get if you work with Great Midwest Bank. They are local loan officers from start to finish, so you can bank with confidence. Great Midwest Bank will always be your simply local equal housing lender. See all of their customizable products at greatmidwestbank.com. That's greatmidwestbank.com. You know, Jason said something interesting, which was that he thinks people are overreacting to the loss against the Panthers. And maybe one of those people who are overreacting to it is our friend Evan Cohen, host of Unsportsmanlike. You can listen to it before us every weekday morning here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Take a listen to what Evan had to say about your Green Bay Packers after the loss to the Panthers.
After they lost to the Cleveland Browns, earlier this season. Our buddy, ESPN Wisconsin, former Packer and Badger, Mark Tauscher, said, he said, and I thought, oh, that's interesting what he's saying. He's like, maybe this is a good thing for them. You get that bad loss out of the way. Everyone was hyping you on unsportsmanlike. They go to the Thursday night football game against the Commanders. They're on the air on Friday morning, and we are hyping that team like crazy. You need a little reset, and that gave them the reset. But I thought it was over. And I understand the Carolina Panthers have a winning record, but do you realize what's happened over the last now few days? They lost to the Panthers. Tucker Kraft, who's their number one weapon, is out for the season. And their next game is against the Philadelphia Eagles. Game on ESPN, Monday Night Football, of course. I'm sorry. For this week and this week only, at 5-2-1, I had no choice but to put the Green Bay Packers on the list.
He says he has no choice, Chew. Do you think the Packers really are a hot mess? Or is this just a young team, which we talk about all the time, the youngest, hitting a rough patch?
I don't think they're a hot mess, but I agree with Jason. I'm down in the dumps because of Tucker Kraft and how important he was not only to this offense but to this team. That's a tough one to overcome because he was your guy. Now it's kind of like last year where I think LaFleur wanted to throw the ball a bunch, wasn't getting it done, and then he pivoted to the run game, and then they became – kind of a run first type of team. He's got to find a way to make up
They did that, too, because of the injury to Jordan. Like, they had to become a run first team because of the injury to Jordan, and you weren't going to sling the ball around the field with Malik Willis the way that they did with Jordan. And it worked out great because a lot of the things that they put in with Malik, they ended up keeping around. Not like the read option stuff, but the stuff that made Josh Jacobs as good as he was. So maybe with his back against the wall the way it was last year after the Love injury, we get to see some of the best stuff out of Matt LaFleur, like when his back was against the wall last year.
But are you guys with me with the fact that if Kraft didn't get hurt and it was just a loss, I'd be like, hey, this stuff happens. No big deal. Bounce back next week.
Yes, I would be more like that, but I would also be more... Again, going back to some of the stuff that Evko just said there. Like, again, it happens against Cleveland, but now it happens against Carolina at home. Mm-hmm. Like, I wonder how much I can trust you winning consecutive games in the postseason. That exists to me, Chew, no matter what. Oh, it happens. Well, guess what? It can't happen over the course of a month in the postseason. And if you're allowing it to happen against Carolina, how does it not happen if you're playing Tampa Bay or Philadelphia again in the postseason and teams like that?
Let me ask you a question, Chew.
Yep.
Is there a singular issue for the Green Bay Packers right now, and that being Tucker Kraft's health?
I think you got to put corner in there too.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, it's not a singular offensive line play. You can continue special teams inconsistency, run defense. Like, there's a bunch of different things,
and we
guys,
start
that
adding
we could
those
talk
up.
About. That's why I feel like, as much as I don't want to admit this hot mess express, it sort of does fit what they're dealing with right now. If it were just the injury to Tucker Kraft, I would say, you're overreacting. But it's that, and it's this, and it's this, mm-hmm. and it's this, and it's this, and that's where it starts to make me feel like, oh, yeah, it is kind of messy right now.
And look, I'm still picking them to win this week, okay? But I will
the
know...
The more you say that, the more I feel like you're convincing yourself.
No,
like, you keep bringing it up. You keep bringing it up, and it's almost like you want to hedge, but you're being stubborn, which I respect, but it feels like the more you bring it up, you're just being a little stubborn.
No, because I know how a team should react to what happened last week. They should come out and play, like, the first and second game of the year at home, flying around, making plays. What the hell? Stop feeling sorry for yourself. But, and you'll know halfway through the first quarter if that's going to happen. But conversely, I've seen teams lose players who are some of the best players on the team, and the pouting carries over, and then you get in the mindset of, oh man, I don't think we're good enough to win a Super Bowl. Kind of like Dallas with Micah Parsons. You know, they lose Parsons, and I'm not saying Kraft is Parsons, but he is an important part of the team. And then you pout, and then you're like, oh, I don't think we can do it now. So if they come out flat and soft, and let's say they get beat by 14 points, this team is in trouble. This team is in trouble. If there's ever a must win, it's this one right here. Psychologically,
it kind of
it's
feels,
a must win.
Kind of feels like a pivot point now, doesn't it?
I was going to say the same thing.
Kind of feels like a pivot point where, yeah, maybe, and even I mean, the Eagles are a really good team. So there's a chance that they, like, if they come out like gangbusters, chewy, like, there's still a chance they lose because Saquon Barkley does Saquon Barkley things. But if they come out pouty and that effort isn't there, I don't know how they bounce back and recover from that.
Because you know where my mind's at now? And I think I touched on it early in the week. I'm sitting here going, okay, they should sweep Minnesota, sweep Chicago, maybe split with Detroit. Now I'm like, are they going to split with Chicago? Are they going to split with Minnesota? You know? So my mindset's changed too, and I'll half of the first quarter, I think I'll know what direction this team will go.
Well, and here's the other thing I want to ask about this as we try to figure out if the Packers really are a hot mess, as Evan Cohen said that they are, or if they are just a young team hitting a rough patch. We talked about a lot of these things. How do you know if you're just having a bad day? How do you know if the game against the Panthers was just a bad day? Because as we have talked about, the red zone inefficiency, that's not something that they had traditionally shown. That's not something that had been showing up consistently. Like, they had been pretty good in the red zone.
They haven't been as good as you think in the red zone.
What do you mean?
Hold on. I wrote this down. I got to find
boy,
where I wrote
here
it.
We go. We're going to the notebook here. But again, things that we thought maybe that they would be good at, they really struggled with. Again, the fact that we all know Rico Dowdle's name after that game last weekend is because he had a record day for him.
Yeah, he's been very good as well. So, okay, in the red zone, this is touchdown percentage.
Oh, my gosh. Just so everybody knows, he's got a little note card. It's like a little piece of paper. It's just got some numbers on it. He pulled it right out of his backpack.
Well, because I thought we might be talking about this later in the week, and I wanted to have it. So, obviously, the first couple of years under Matt LaFleur, they were fantastic. They were second in the red zone in touchdown percentage, first in the red zone the first 2 years of LaFleur. Since then, 18th, 23rd, 17th, 10th. This year, they're now 12th. So some of it's...
in the league.
In the league. So some of it's good. 12th is fine. It's not as good as we think it is. I think those first 2 years, when they talked about the gold zone and everybody was still here and they were so good. I mean, when they were first, I think they set the record for touchdown efficiency inside the red zone in NFL history. So I think that's carried a lot of the weight. They haven't been that efficient in the red zone in a while.
So I guess with that information then, it sort of leans me, if I'm sitting here on the fence between these two options, towards hot mess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right now, absolutely.
You know what? And it's very simple. It's this simple. If you are a Super Bowl contending team and you are top six in the power rankings, this should never happen at home. It should never happen at home. And it did. That's what makes this so tough.
And maybe that's where, because I was trying to manifest Lambeau being a home field advantage because of how loud and rowdy and raucous it was those first two games, Chew. And we've talked about you guys and how you would walk out at Lambeau knowing, we got this.
Game's over. Yeah.
We got this. But it wasn't, but you guys weren't arrogant about it. You know, it was just, it was like a statement of fact because you knew you were going to play that well. You guys still put in the work, put in the effort, did everything you had to do, and just knew that, hey, in this place, in this building, we can't be touched. Yeah. And I was hoping that they were getting to that point the way that they had played the first couple of games. But unfortunately, they just let that slip through its fingers once again.
Yeah. Evan Cohen reluctantly puts the Packers on his hot mess list on ESPN Radio on Unsportsmanlike. Do you think they deserve to be there right now? Or are they just a young team hitting a rough patch? We're going to put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Infinity Exteriors poll. Let us know what you think. Hot mess or rough patch? 800-990-3776. I want to tell you guys about my friends over at Pottawatomie Casino because the calendar has turned to November, and if you want in on the autumn action at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee, $300,000, excuse me. Of course you want in on it. Who wouldn't? You can play November 1st through the 20th, earn entries playing with your rewards card. Drawings are on Thursdays from 5 to 8 p.m., and you will pick from a prize board if you win. All leftover prizes go into a rollover jackpot drawing. That's at 8:30 p.m., so you could win at 8:30 and earlier in the night as well. More information is available online. You must be 21 years old and a rewards member to play. Autumn action at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Thesaurus.
What's a click below dumb?
You. No.
Whoa. That's fine. Whoa. No, that's what I was
good
getting
good
at.
Pop. Good pop.
That,
whoa.
I know.
Unnecessary.
I'm not dumb. I'm one click below dumb. We need to find out what that word is.
Don't you want to be one click above dumb?
Oh, that's right. I'm one click above.
On 94.5 ESPN.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. This November, BetterHelp is encouraging everyone to reach out, check in on your friends, reconnect with your loved ones, and remind the people in your life that you're there for them. And maybe you need help as well. And if that's the case, BetterHelp can help. BetterHelp does an initial matching work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. You just fill out a short questionnaire. It'll help identify your needs and your preferences. And they've got more than 12 years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate. So usually they're going to get it right the first time. But if they don't, you know what? You can switch therapists at any time. Cannot encourage you enough. If you're having a tough time, call #250. That's #250. Say the keyword timeout, and you'll get 10% off your first month. That's keyword timeout after calling #250, because we are all better with help. Let us know if you agree with Evan Cohen, who reluctantly put the Packers on his hot mess list. I want to believe that it is a young team hitting a rough patch, but man, are the hits coming one after another after another. And that's what makes me feel like, I don't know, they do feel kind of like a hot mess right now, even if you want to say, well, injuries happen and you can't control injuries and things like that. All right. So I love this conversation. I know we don't have time to get into it completely here, but I want to tee it up a little bit. Gabe, did you hear the conversation the guys in the afternoon were having about Matt LaFleur in comparison with some of the other coaches in the division?
I do.
So what they were asking was, if Matt LaFleur were fired today and if there were openings, let's just say in a hypothetical world, on Detroit, Minnesota, and Chicago, would any of those teams hire Matt LaFleur?
I mean, over the guys that they have now, it kind of doesn't feel like it. It kind of feels like everybody's happy. Although, I mean, I think that's an easy game to play the other way around, too. Like, if, you know, would you take Matt LaFleur over what the Chicago Bears have right now?
Yes,
I probably would.
Yeah. Still too much uncertainty for
me. To me, and honestly, as much love to me as Kevin O'Connell gets, but he's in year number four. They've made the playoffs twice, lost at home once to Danny Dimes and the Giants, and they got their doors blown off last year by the Rams. Like, for as much love as Kevin O'Connell gets...
Do we change our opinion of Danny Dimes after seeing what he's been doing recently?
Yeah, but he was still New York version. Like, the New York version, like...
I'm just saying, it means that it was in there somewhere, maybe, right?
Sure.
He just needed to unlock it with a new organization.
Sure, but, like, you losing to Danny Dimes back when they did 4 years ago, that was one thing. That was one thing. You lost a first or second year player at home in the playoffs. Like, that's
And you haven't mentioned the coach in Detroit yet, Dan Campbell.
No, because Dan Campbell, to me, he's got the best resume. Dan Campbell, to me, is the best coach in the division, right? They've made, I guess LaFleur, because he's been to a couple more NFC championship games, probably has a better resume at this point, but I think Dan Campbell's the best coach in the division. And after that, we're talking about who's the second best coach.
Chewy, go ahead and power rank those four for me.
See, the thing about Dan Campbell, he's a manager.
Yep.
He manages the team. He doesn't call offense. He doesn't call defense. He lets his coaches coach. Minnesota clearly made a mistake in not re-signing Sam Darnold, because Darnold is playing outside of his mind right now, and I think Minnesota is a different team with him. Ben Johnson in Chicago is an up-and-comer. Look, the Bears are 5-3, right? They're 5-3. He's got 5 wins. He's headed in the right direction.
I mean, you could have said the same thing about them last year, too. I think they started the season 4-2.
Did they?
Yeah.
We'll have to see. I'd go Dan Campbell, because he does manage a team very well, and he gets his players to play for him. I would say...
LaFleur's 2. He can't be any lower than 2.
Why?
He's got a better resume than everybody else,
else. Are we talking today, or are we talking his resume? Because, yeah, if it's the resume, I agree with you.
Well, if it's today, then Matt LaFleur's number one, because they have the lead in the division.
Yeah, but they've been disappointing out of all those teams.
Hasn't Detroit been disappointing?
Yeah, they've been disappointing. I don't know. It's a tough question. I think all of them are fine. I don't think any of them are great. They're not even close to Andy Reid or...
Well, Andy Reid's like a top five coach in NFL history.
Well, yeah.
It's like saying, well, hey, Jordan Love isn't anywhere
all right,
near...
Okay, let me ask you this. Yeah. Let me ask you this. Let me ask you guys this.
Yes.
rank them as far as getting fired at the end of the season. Not Ben Johnson. He ain't getting fired.
Well, I think it's unlikely that any Kevin of them O'Connell get fired. Ain't if getting I had fired. To pick one, it would be Matt LaFleur. Again, I think it's unlikely. I'm going to say this again for the people out there who don't always listen. I think it's unlikely that any of the four coaches in the NFC North get fired at the end of the season. But if you forced me to, you know, pick which coach is probably on the hot seat or their seat is the hottest,
yeah,
I think it would be Matt LaFleur. Because of the Ed policy situation.
He's been there the longest. But also, and any coach that's been there the longest, right? Like, if you hire a first-year head coach, like, yeah, Ben Johnson isn't... Again, you have to be an absolute dumpster fire in order to get fired after 1 year or less than a year. And obviously the Bears aren't a dumpster fire this year with Ben Johnson. So yeah, his job would even be safer than Dan Campbell's, who I think is the best coach in the league because Dan's just been there longer. That's just it's the way those things work. So I don't even think you put Ben Johnson on the list.
Yeah, it's true. I think it's Matt LaFleur.
I agree.
But again, I also go to your point, he's been there the longest, so that also puts him... you know, one on the list.
His contract situation.
Because of the contract situation with Ed Policy. Because Ed Policy didn't say, yes, you are the guy. You are the future. We want you there. Because he's like, oh, let's wait and see. See what happens. You know, that I think is the best indicator of what you have to say. I want to take a break here on Jen Gabe. We want to dive into this a little bit more. There's a lot of comments that have been made about the Packers this week, obviously coming off of the loss. So there's a lot of meat on this bone. We'll get into it right after this.
Hey, look, if you're looking for that great gift idea for the golfer in your life, man, what did this person actually need? Well, there's no better gift than an X-Golf gift card. So you should be waiting for the X-Golf at American Family Field Black Friday option. So their Black Friday promotion, which will start on November 28th, which is Black Friday, it runs through November 31st. You get 20% off your purchase with a maximum of $300 with a gift card. So go ahead and get that gift card. It's great. It's good for sim time. It's good for merch over there at X Golf and American Family Field. Give that golfer in your life a gift card. And you can save a little bit if you wait for the Black Friday promotion where you get 20% off your gift card purchase. You can also do it online. Receive an the e-gift card that will be sent to the receiver. Can be forwarded via email or stop into X Golf. Receive the physical gift card with 20% off. 20% off for that X Golf gift card at X Golf. American Family Field during Black Friday.